Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy and Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's tape is presented by Tom and Marilyn Ross. The Rosses are the principals of Accelerated Business Images, a public relations and advertising firm that specializes in helping service businesses on a spot marketing alternative basis. They help companies develop individualized shoestring promotional campaigns that get results. Marilyn and Tom are members of the National Speakers Association and are frequently called upon to give their unique team seminars and workshops to organizations and associations from coast to coast. The Rosses were also invited to be senior associates of the prestigious Center for the New West, a think tank that casts its visionary net over the vast economic and cultural landscape, according to the Christian Science Monitor. Between them, this dynamic pair is also included in Who's Who in U.S. Writers, Editors, and Poets, the International Authors and Writers Who's Who, and Contemporary Authors. Now, let's join Tom and Marilyn as they share with us the three keys to greater profits: image building, publicity, and promotion.
Hello there. Today we're going to be talking about specific ways you can generate more sales and develop a marketing mindset that will guarantee you greater profits. We're going to handle it kind of like a kitchen table chat.
You know, everything you do affects marketing. It's not just the quality of your media contacts or the news releases you send out. Marketing involves
how the phone is answered, what you say in your printed materials, and how clever you are at creating newsworthy items.
What you do with the press you get, how your employees interact with customers, and much, much more.
We'd like to start off by sharing the four basics that will net you outrageous results. We've used these in our businesses for years, and we've talked about them in the speeches we give across the country.
And they are no less important today. In fact, they are the basic principles for success. Ask for what you want. Other people can't read your minds. Ask for the referral. Ask for the 24-month contract rather than the 12. Ask for what you want.
Basic principle number two is the 80-20 rule. Now, that may sound kind of strange, but what we mean by the 80-20 rule is to focus your energy, your time, and your resources on what will give you the greatest payback. It's no secret that our current customers are really our best prospects as well. So don't rush around spending a whole lot of time trying to get someone new and ignore the customer base that you have. Look at where your business is coming from now. What is working? And instead of rushing around trying to find something else to do, concentrate on what works so that you can milk that for even greater rewards.
Make it easy. Make it easy for other people to do exactly what you want them to do. That way more people are going to do it. Do you have a toll-free phone number, if that's applicable? Do you accept credit cards? 24-hour-a-day service. People can get a hold of somebody, a live person, 24 hours a day. Those are all things that are going to make it easy for people to do what you want them to do.
And the fourth basic principle is follow-up. Follow-up and follow-up. There is no question that the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Now, whether you're talking about trying to woo new prospects or trying to get something in the media, in every respect, it's often the third, fourth, or fifth time that someone makes a decision to buy or to do what you want them to do. If you stop following up after two times, that's never going to happen.
This all has to do with image building, creating powerful attention getters, setting your image, setting yourself apart in the industry. We want to help you to become the most visible and perceived as the best.
Now, if you're the only heating and air conditioning company in town, or the only plumber, the only landscape firm, the only chimney sweep, you probably don't have a big problem. But let's face it, most of us don't work in that kind of a tiny universe. There are other service contractors that are anxious to swoop down on our customers and our prospects.
And if they aren't now, Marilyn, if we get a cocky attitude and we don't take care of what we have, even if we're the only one, we're sure inviting other people to come in and take a big part of the market share.
That's true. Have you ever noticed that some service people are especially knowledgeable and helpful? Or maybe you've observed that the atmosphere of a certain facility is unusually inviting. You may have your auto repairs done by a favorite mechanic, not just because of his mechanicking ability, but because he does something extra. He washes the exterior of the car and he vacuums the inside, along with performing the required technical service.
Remember, folks, image has nothing to do with how we perceive or how we see ourselves. But it has everything to do about how other people, how your customers, how your prospects perceive you, perceive your company, perceive your service. It's your company's ability to convince people that you can satisfy their expectations. It sends out a potent message about your capabilities and your caring. Image building has to be proactive, not reactive. This isn't the place for a soft shoe or tippy-toe stuff. Image involves visibility, respect, and responsiveness.
If you take it seriously, you'll consistently romance your prospects in every way possible. You'll woo them with carefully crafted written materials, business cards, and service agreements. Your signs will reflect the same image, as will your trucks, uniforms, the very feel of your place of business, and the way you do business.
Now, if you've been in business several years, don't think, well, you know, I've already established an image. Brush it off. Take a look at it. See if it needs an upgrade. See if it needs a little polish. The things we're talking about for newcomers applies to you. Really look at it.
You know, we said before that how you answer the phone projects your image, Tom. And I guess we all need to really audit that. How many times have you called your own establishment? Probably not at all in the last several months, maybe the last several years. Check it out. Is the person friendly, unhurried, professional? A favorable reaction gives you an important competitive edge. It contributes directly to why folks get their landscaping or their plumbing or their furnaces or their service repairs from you.
Remember, everybody on your team contributes to your image. Whatever service or whatever product you sell, please always remember that you want to do it in an outstanding way. Make sure that your associates are friendly to the customers, that they keep in mind the most important thing, and that is the customer is number one. No matter what you sell, people can get it elsewhere. Folks like to trade with certain businesses because of the way the proprietor or employees or certain employees make them feel. Service is the rent we pay for the space we take on the planet. Do a check. Make sure you've paid your rent and paid it well lately. According to American Management Association, 65% of the average company's business comes from existing, satisfied customers. Happy repeat customers are your best bet. Are you sure yours will come back?
I guess we want to kind of help you understand that it's important to portray a consistent image throughout. And you need to think about what is your look? What is the feel of your place? What do you want to convince people with? How do you want to portray your company? And once you've determined that, then you want to coordinate things, your logo, your letterhead, envelope, business cards, signage, uniforms, everything. Choose a color that is for your stationery that is other than white so it stands out. It's also a good idea, by the way, when we're speaking of stationery, to order an extra ream of blank paper so you can use that for second sheets when you write a longer letter, or just use it to keep the color theme overall if you're doing a flyer.
The easier you are to find, the better your business will be. Make sure that everything you do includes all the pertinent information. Your phone area code, zip code, fax number, email, and a URL if you have a website. And if you don't have a website, you want to look into it. It's another method to position you maybe a little above the competition in it. It's an upcoming thing. More and more people are going to be going to the web to find a service provider they want. If you're using a post office box, it's a good idea to include a street address for in-person deliveries and to add a little credibility. You all know and have heard of the offers from post office boxes that were just a little less than credible. So we don't want to fall in that category. Avoid tiny type in everything you do. As the population ages, prospects' eyes appreciate larger print. I know I'm in that category.
Well, you know, something, Tom, that I think we should really stress for these folks is the importance of business cards. First of all, you never go anywhere without a business card because you never know when you're going to meet someone in what circumstances that you want to give a card to. We think that these are probably the most underrated forms of merchandising that there is. The business card dates back to the 17th century when different businesses began using what came to be known as trade cards to advertise their wares.
We think that the business card has a tendency to be underused, too. A lot of people will say the company name, their name, the address, and the phone number. But you don't mention at all what you do, what you can do for somebody. How about making a business card into a mini billboard? Tell them what you can do for them and how you can do it better.
You know, if you want to get more mileage out of your card, consider using a double-sided tent-style card. These have a fold along the top and print on both sides. For instance, we originated such a card for a boutique that hired us to help them with their marketing. We used the inside of the card for the listing of ladies' sizes and favorite colors. Then each customer was encouraged to fill out a card for the man in her life. That simplified gift-giving for hundreds of husbands and boyfriends and dads. Of course, it also brought extra business to the boutique because they made it easy for the fellas to shop for the ladies' sizes, favorite colors, etc.
It can be useful to design your card so that it's unusual, so that it stands out, so that if it were in a pile of cards on the table, people would notice it. How about if you made it vertically instead of horizontal? You put your picture on it. Or a picture of what you do using a fluorescent paper stock. It attracts attention. Consider two color. Maybe if you're doing a photograph of the service or yourself, maybe even full color, although that gets a little expensive. We know a plumber, Marilyn, that did his whole ad on rubberized magnetic material.
That's right.
So it holds notes on the refrigerator and reminds the lady of the house, the person that does the ordering of service, of plumbing services, that he is there.
I wonder, would this work for your business? A lot of the things that we're talking about, we realize, could be helpful for startups. And yet many of you folks have been in business for 5, 10, 15 years. And you know what can happen about that time? You can get complacent, and some new upstart can come in and take a large part of your market share. So the things we're talking about may very well apply, especially to you who have been in business for a while. It may be time to do things differently. Consider whether you could do a cross-promotion with another business, for instance. We know a fella who got his business cards paid for by tying the location of his art gallery to that of a nearby hotel. On the back of his card, he drew a map which showed the location of his shop in relationship to the hotel. And then the hotel made the cards available to guests who, you guessed it, often visited the gallery.
Does your business have a slogan? Should it? Many businesses can benefit from originating sayings connected with their product or service. Catchy. One of the most famous is, "Where's the beef?" Wendy's soared to huge profits when this catchy phrase debuted several years ago. Other national giants use similar marketing strategies. You're in good hands with Allstate, who survived these many years. And it soothes buyers to think they're in good hands.
You know, and then there's that self-depreciating one that says, "With a name like Smucker's, it has to be good." It pokes delicious fun at the company and yet catches people's attention. But slogans aren't just for corporate giants. A ski resort has as its motto, "Snow ahead, make my day." An ingenious florist plays on the beer commercial by saying, "This bud's for you."
If you decide to coin a slogan, get a thesaurus and a rhyming dictionary, a good sense of humor, and lots of imagination. Work with your associates. Work with business colleagues. Have a little fun with it. Use a tape recorder. Start brainstorming different ideas. Now, you all know what brainstorming is. It isn't a critique of what's going on. It's just throwing out ideas. Maybe you all sat around the table, you have a few chips and dip, and maybe a beer or a Coke, and you talk about what you can do to come up with a catchy phrase that really, when you hit it, you'll know it's right because it defines your service, your business, and lets people know what you're all about.
And Tom, you're so right in encouraging people not to be judgmental. We really want to welcome all thoughts, and you may end up combining part of one with part of another. So, you know, service contractors can use slogans every bit as much as large corporations. But let's evaluate your signage needs. Signs are not only excellent advertising, but they help make finding you easier. Your sign should reflect, again, the image of what you want to communicate. If your current one doesn't do that, perhaps you should consider replacing it. Integrate it with your other design aspects. Probably the bywords of good sign design are clarity and simplicity. Don't get cluttered. You want your company name and maybe the logo, and that's it. Period. No slogan here, no phone number, no distractions. And before you go too far, check on any regulations. There may be ordinances that you must obey.
Marilyn, you brought up a point that I think that we need to emphasize here at this juncture in our presentation or in our little talk. Coordinate things. Have everything fit together. Your sign should kind of go with your image. Everything has to work together. Your cards need to be. We have been called upon to help people. And it was totally disjointed. Nothing fit together. Make sure everything fits together.
I think that's very true. Your colors must complement the surrounding building. You want a strong contrast so it's easy to read. You know, speaking of readability, we have some statistics that may surprise you. Are you aware that 100 feet away, letters should be at least 4 inches tall? And if you have a sign on the highway, letters must be more like 3 feet tall to be read at a distance when people are traveling by.
You know, what you do may lend itself to an unusually shaped sign. I saw a music store recently that had a guitar and the strings were in neon. Now, that catches your attention because it tells you without seeing any words what it's about.
Piggybacking on that idea, bowling ball might be the symbol that's used by a bowling alley. For an automotive-related business, how about the outline of a car? An optometrist could use the shape of eyeglasses, an aquarium supplier, a fish, you know, it goes on and on and on. And like you said, Tom, neon does have a distinct advantage because it sells 24 hours a day. Of course, so does fluorescent light or spotlights if you keep them on after dark.
The thing is, to use some imagination here, you know, we gave a couple of examples of what you can use for unusual shaped signs, but you know your business better than anybody else. And, you know, how about getting your clients, your customers involved in this if you're going to create a new sign? Get them to come up with some ideas. People enjoy participation.
The other thing is not to overlook all kinds of signage opportunities. Perhaps your business lends itself to advertising on vehicles. Many service contractors can and do that. Commercials here take the form of a metallic sign or decals or lettering on the actual auto body.
Make it fit with the things you do.
You know, I'm reminded of that fella in Taylor, South Carolina, who owns an electrical wiring company. He has literally transformed his truck into a roving billboard. He put metallic signs across his side doors and along the back, and then he parks his truck in high visibility spots like country club parking lots and commercial construction sites. He reported to me at one point that he had gotten at least 100 jobs a year just from having the signs on the truck.
Of course, he parks his vehicle there because he's doing jobs there. You want to be a little careful just parking your vehicle in the local country club parking lot. They may have an objection to that.
Well, you know, let's talk a bit about your target market and think about who the end user is, because you want to tailor everything towards that person. And if you haven't thought about that person, who is the most likely to buy your service, then perhaps you're shortcutting yourself.
You know, this probably is the most important part of this talk, Marilyn, and the thing that most people are so hesitant to do, because they don't really think about it, or for whatever reason, I don't know. But, you know, you need to define yourself for other people, not for yourself. You need to tell people what your service is in those terms, in benefit terms, to the people you're dealing with. You know, we have a tendency to talk about the features. We are a furnace provider. We have this brand of furnace. We have 15 trucks. We have 40 employees. We have 40,000 square feet of warehouse space and display space. That's all great, folks, but those are features. Tell people what all this stuff does for them.
And that's good that you brought that up, Tom, because in the materials that they write, their brochures, their Yellow Page ads, everything they do, they need to be benefit-oriented. And benefit gets away from I and we and our and into you and your. It solves problems. It tells your potential customer what you're going to do to make their life easier, to make it better.
And you need to recognize the fact that different markets have different buttons. In other words, they're worried about different benefits. There are different things that they're really looking for. So you need to consider whether you're going to the 20-somethings, the boomers, older people. Is your market men or is it women? Is it a retrofit market or are you dealing in new construction? Where do you fit? And then position yourself and define yourself for that audience.
And, you know, when you are defining yourself and when you're talking, and whether it's verbally talking or creating promotional materials, so many times when we give speeches around the country, we ask people, well, how do you feel about selling? And, boy, you mentioned the word selling, and unless they're professional salespeople, most of them raise their hands when we say, are you uncomfortable doing that?
And then we ask them if they enjoy helping people.
And that's
they all raise
different.
Their hands.
They all raise their hands.
And so why don't you define your service, your business, as a help to other people? That, then, is benefit definition.
You're then, instead of selling, you're building relationships. You're solving the problems for people, and that really takes the pressure off when you get that kind of a mindset.
We hit a little bit here on this positioning thing. Let's really explore that. Explore positioning yourself for greater profits.
Well, positioning is basically looking for a hole and plugging it. It's doing something to set yourself apart from the crowd. Set yourself apart from the crowd. Now, don't delude yourself into thinking that you needn't differentiate yourself. If you want your market share and then some, and let's face it, most of us who are honest would love the and then some, then you have to seek ways to carve out a special niche. You want to try and identify and serve a segment all your own.
Let's go into this a little deeper so we can better understand this concept. Let's take a look. Well, this is strange, I guess, but we like to eat, and most people do. Most people particularly like sweets. So let's use cookies, as strange as that might seem.
You're going to get me hungry before we're through with our chat.
As an example. Now, cookies are positioned as being chewy. Others are crunchy. Some are like grandma used to make. Some are nutritious, gourmet, low-fat. All kinds of different versions of cookies, different positions. Gigantic cookies, you know, a meal in themselves. And on the other side of that spectrum, there are bite-sized morsels. And folks, do you realize that you could take the same cookie, the same recipe, do it in a little different package and position in any one of these positions, but it would not be as effective as taking a specific position?
So really, you want to become known for a certain thing, maybe as the place where a person can find almost anything in a given line of merchandise. Or on the other extreme, where they will go for very customized and selective items that they can't usually find. In a service industry, you want to be known for the fact that whatever they need, and whenever they need it, you'll be there, whether that's 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday or a Sunday afternoon. If it's in real estate or appraising, if that's your thing, do you plan to specialize in residential property, commercial holdings, or raw land? See what we mean? You have to decide what is your area of emphasis and then really cater to that and explode that as your specialty.
With the little time we have with you, we can't go through all of the ways. But as you can see, the ways you can segment the market go on and on. Do you deliver? Do you offer one-stop shopping convenience? Is your business portable? It's endless.
Well, let's take as an example a maid service. Suppose you wanted to start a maid service, but there are already several in town. You wouldn't want to go head-to-head in the traditional way. So come from a different perspective. You could market a luxury package of special services to affluent households. Or maybe a monthly quick and heavy clean program for mature people who can't afford weekly service but do need periodic help with difficult tasks.
Of course, before you can sharpen your focus to set yourself apart, you must know the competition. Find out who your potential rivals are. Evaluate what they do and how they do it. Do they do it well? Do they do it poorly? Look for their weak points. And this sounds really like we're getting serious, and we are. Now scrutinize your own organization using the same fine-tooth comb you did on your competition. What are your weak points? What are your strengths? What could you do to make your business move faster, better, and be more innovative?
You know, Tom, I'm reminded of that company that we helped in Palm Springs, California. It was a heating and air conditioning company, and they brought us in to work through their promotional materials. And we created a direct mail piece for their maintenance contract that absolutely increased their business enormously. And it was something that they had been trying to do, but they hadn't done it effectively because they didn't understand writing from a benefit standpoint, and they didn't understand making themselves special and creating a niche that was just appropriate for them.
We've put together a list of 21 ideas that you can use to separate yourself from the herd, find your special niche, and then really take care of your customers. Proper positioning teamed with the genuine caring makes a difference between business as usual and unusually good business.
Well, let's kind of look at those 21 ways to separate yourself from the herd. Certainly, price point is one of them. And you need to think about that. You know, do you intend to be the most expensive? And if you do, that's probably fine. But then that's the point that you're making. Are you going to be moderately priced, or will you be the most economical available in the area? You want to establish your image on price and then let customers know it.
And I want to just add to that point. Sometimes being the most expensive, you can play on the fact that the best can't be necessarily be the cheapest. Size is another consideration. Small can be an advantage because you can be quicker on your feet, you can move faster, you can do things. But the thing is, play on the personalized attention you can give because of that size.
And atmosphere is another point that you can use. How are you different than others? Are you laid back? Are you sophisticated? What is your attitude toward business and the atmosphere of your shop or your facility?
Ours. Do you open early? Do you still open late to accommodate the working guy, the working gal? If you do, make a point of that.
Well, I think days of operation fits in there too, Tom, because, well, inevitably, let's face it, when your furnace is going to go bad or your air conditioning is going to poop out, it's going to be on a day when it's 110 degrees, and of course it's going to be a Saturday or a Sunday.
It's going to be some Sunday in the middle of a football game.
Right. So are you going to consider being open and available to help people on weekends? And also, what about holidays? If they need you on Christmas Day, will you be there?
Location. If you're convenient, flaunt it. If you aren't, figure out a way to define that in such a way that it's an advantage.
Let's look at portability as another possibility for separating yourself from the herd. Because in today's world, time is one of the most important commodities people have. We live in a very fast-paced society, and a lot of folks are both working, and they need to save as much time as possible. If you will come to them, they will appreciate that rather than them having to come to you. So perhaps you can outfit a van or a truck so that you can literally bring your business on the road.
We talked about making it easy for people to do what you want them to do. Ease of purchasing. Sometimes adding credit cards can certainly add to your bottom line. Do you have a layaway plan? Do you offer financing? Accept phone orders? Do you have a purchasing set up via the internet? Make it easy.
Of course, convenience is always going to win you customers. If they can find you easily, if they can get what they want and pay quickly and get on with their business, this is going to warm the cockles of their heart.
Do you have a gimmick? An environmental angle, and I don't want to insinuate that environmental issues are not important, but use it if you have it. Do you have a theme decor? In other words, take a look around. Is there something unusual that'll set you apart?
Because if you decide on that, that could be a theme kind of thing, could carry through on uniforms, on signs, on everything. You know, it may be really wild, really kind of far out, and yet that's what catches people's attention. That gets people talking about you. And do you know what gets you business faster than anything in the world? You probably know this. It's word of mouth. So if you can get people talking about you because of your unusualness, that certainly is going to capture more business. Let's look at delivery. Here again, the importance of convenience. Do you offer pickup and delivery?
Guarantee. Guarantees scare people to death, the people giving them. But they also create a sense of security in the people that you give them to. If you do a good job, if your service is good, stand behind it. Offering a guarantee will increase your business. And it will increase your bottom line, and I, as the fellow says, will guarantee it.
What about packaging? Could you use some kind of innovative or reusable or fun packaging method?
Giveaways. Could you offer free gifts to potential customers? How about the purchases? Can you leave them something useful to remind them of you?
It's also wonderful to do that for anyone who gives you a referral, because referrals beget business. There's no question about that. And so be generous with those who give you referrals as far as creating some sort of a gift to let them know that you acknowledge that they are saying you're good. Because, you know, there's nothing better than someone else saying you're good. It's so much more graceful than us tooting our own horn.
Affinity marketing. Now, that means when you associate with someone else so that you can combine the power of the two businesses to better serve people, to increase your area of influence, to increase the area of your service, to basically, bottom line, to reach more persons and improve your revenue stream.
Another thing, Tom, they could think about is samples. Now, this doesn't relate to every business, but some people could offer samples to entice prospects.
You know, a lot of things we do, we take for granted. And take today's air conditioner, today's heating system, if it's a heat pump or that type of thing. To us, we're in the business, this is a simple thing. But how about to the folks that are receiving? How about giving seminars or demonstrations to show how your product works and how it works better? And, you know, these things, you give them free. So they attract people who are just mildly interested, and then when they see what a great device this heat pump is, considered to their shovel-driven coal furnace, you might have made a sale just by giving that free seminar.
Well, and you know, Tom, there's a lot of places that would love to have these kind of presentations. There are civic clubs in every town that are hungry for little half-hour talks at their breakfast meeting or their luncheon meeting. And when you do this, you're planting seeds for the future. You're not going to be inundated by six people who want to immediately purchase your product. But you are going to be in their mind when the time comes that they need to replace an air conditioner, or that they have a plumbing job that needs to be done, or they want to landscape their yard, or if they have a stove and they need their chimney cleaned. There's lots of ways to plant seeds where downstream they will sprout.
You know, contests are an interesting marketing concept. I think we ought to have customer or client of the year for every business. Now, that's kind of far out, isn't it? We have employee of the month. We have employee of the year. But how about the important people? How about when you want to do something new, of getting those people on your mailing list, those customers, those clients, to get them involved in your slogan and make it a contest. Make a winner. People love contests and they love winning. And what better way to contact that 20% that we talked about, your livelihood, your customer database.
The last thing we'd like to suggest as a way to position yourself is to look for a technological edge. Will a fax, a modem, a cellular phone, a bigger computer, a toll-free line, or email be helpful? And we talked a little bit about the Internet before, and a lot of folks think, well, gee, the Internet's, you know, when you want global customers, it wouldn't make sense for me to have a home page or a website on the Internet because my business is all local.
I take issue with that, Marilyn, because I think the day is coming at a very rapid pace. In fact, a recent Sunday's newspaper, Bill Gates had an interview, and he said within 10 years that the Internet's going to be a common thing. People in cities are going to be shopping in that city through the Internet. So don't overlook it as a possibility.
That's very true. With a minimal amount of expense, you can get online, you can become competitive in a way that most of your competitors themselves are not even thinking about yet. Sure, it's true. Not everybody has access to the Internet, but the ones who do are the more affluent, the better educated, they have more money to spend, they're better prospects for you in the first place. And the time is just around the corner when they're going to be looking locally for vendors, for suppliers, for contractors that they can get a better feel for. You don't have to pay huge amounts. It's not like a Yellow Page ad where they're going to kill you to put in a half page. Once that site is up, it's up. And it's there for people to come and use you as a resource and then contact you for more information.
And there is nothing growing faster than the amount of people that are joining and using the Internet. So don't overlook it. Let's shift gears a little bit, Marilyn. Let's talk about publicity and promotion.
They
the great equalizer.
Super, indefinitely. You know, doing business without publicity and promotion is kind of like winking at a member of the opposite sex in the dark. You may know what you're doing, but they don't see it at all. You know, for virtually no money, you can level the playing field and greatly increase your market share.
We want to show you how to generate attention without having to weigh 300 pounds, without throwing public tantrums, and you don't have to disgrace the national anthem.
Tapping into no-cost public relations is one of the most fundamental aspects of any business or professional practice. Yet many folks think that you must be able to charm the Lord off a hog to be effective in PR, and it just ain't so. What is important is being alert for every opportunity to focus attention on your venture and yourself.
The most common vehicle for getting this attention is the press release. We prefer to call it a news release in this electronic age because, you know, the electronic providers are insulted by the press because that is strictly print. The important thing is, did you know that over 75% of all the news, everything you hear, read, see, is planted?
What do you mean by that, planted?
I mean it's by entrepreneurs, by enterprising people who do a news release about something that is of interest. They send it to these news providers, and it becomes news.
So in other words, it's supplied by people like you and I. It isn't dug up by reporters or producers or editors.
75% of it.
Wow, that's an opportunity. You know, news releases cover a multitude of issues. Well-written ones are often used just as is because, you see, these people are in a really tight situation. There's a lot of downsizing that's gone on. They have X number of inches of print to fill. They are hungry for your news releases. Other times, they're reworked to fit the style of a publication. And sometimes they're so interesting that the people decide that they're worth even more attention, and a news release often results in a full-blown story then done by a reporter or a freelance writer or an editor.
Well, what about an opportunity to get on the local talk radio show and spend half an hour explaining why the heat pump is so economic and save people so much money, and you just happen to have the best one on the market?
Not too shabby. I think that's an idea. And don't think just because you have a local service that you shouldn't publicize it in the national press. You know, most people never get their names in print, and so they are awed. They are impressed by those who do. We know of a piano teacher who was interviewed in Entrepreneur Magazine, which is a national magazine, and this is her comment. I know I won't get any new students from this mention, but if I put a copy of this article where my students' parents can see it, they'll be so impressed, I can raise my rates.
Now, folks, she has hit upon something. Let's say you got something in the Wall Street Journal for whatever reason, it doesn't make any difference. Don't you think that your customer base would be impressed when you mailed it out just to let them know what was going on with their service company? The company they had chosen had been featured in the Wall Street Journal? That's heavy, folks.
That is definitely heavy. You know, something we want to be sure that all of you folks recognize, and that is that we believe passion belongs in the showroom as well as the bedroom. And just what do we mean by passion? We mean care. Give a damn. Become so encouraged and so excited and so involved in this business of yours and what you want to do with it that you're constantly on a high. And then it helps you become a dominant presence in your industry.
So let's just look at something. If you can't get excited about what you do, about what you provide, about your product, about your service, how in the world do you expect to get somebody excited enough to part with their hard-earned money? You know, that's an oxymoron, folks. You have to have some passion. You have to get excited about what you do. And believe me, passion is catching. People will know that you and your associates are really into this and they have a passion for it. And they'll feed it right back to you.
You're much more likely to get articles about you in various news media when you are excited. And also another option is for you to write articles or hire a freelancer or a ghostwriter to place articles. You want to consider all avenues. Newsletters, for instance. There are newsletters that go out to those in your trade. There are trade journals. There are consumer magazines, newspapers, even online news groups and listservs where you can participate as a subtle way of making people aware of you.
One of the great things to do is to develop a flyer, a quiz, a booklet, or self-help information in such a way that it's something of value that you can use as a giveaway. Now, an air conditioning firm could create a list of 10 ways to keep your heating and air conditioning bills down. Maybe a landscape firm might prepare 5 steps to the most beautiful lawn in your neighborhood. A chimney sweep might go through and stress the safety hazards of allowing soot to build in a chimney. I was awakened to this fact in a place where you wouldn't expect it. In Southern California, I had a chimney fire because I didn't know about this. Tell people.
You know, these kinds of giveaways, these free but useful pieces of information, are very much appreciated by the media because they deliver value to readers of newspapers and to listeners of radio stations. And the other thing that's so great is once you get this kind of exposure, you're perceived as the expert. And when you're the expert in the field, you are noted and quoted, and once you start that, people keep coming to you for additional information.
So you see that news releases are the workhorses of publicity. Getting somebody else to say good things about your business. So let's discuss how you can craft news releases guaranteed. Notice I use guaranteed too. To open media doors.
Well, I guess we should share with them kind of our list of the 7 do's of news releases. If you do these 7 things, you're much more likely to capture their attention and to get exposure. The first one is to have a catchy headline and try to make that, again, benefit-oriented. What problem is this going to solve?
You need an arresting first sentence. So you need a startling statistic, a provocative question, a dramatic statement, again, that's dealing with pain or gain for people. That's what people respond to, something that helps them.
Now, this is kind of a housekeeping thing, but you want to double space it. If you single space it, they can't get in there to edit it, and they're not going to be as receptive to it.
And this isn't going to be a book, folks. It's not going to be published, so let's keep it to 2 pages maximum.
You want to give both a day and an evening phone number. It was just proven to me a couple of weeks ago how important this is. We had done a news release on an activity we were involved in, and I had included my evening number. And I got a call about 8 o'clock at night from someone who was working on a deadline. Now, if I had not put that evening number in, they couldn't have gotten the information, and they would have thrown the news release away. The whole story opportunity would have gone down the tubes. So be sure and put a contact name and both a day and an evening phone number.
Now, all through this tape, we have been talking to you about tooting your horn about being salesy. But this is a place where that will be deadly. Remember, this is a news release. It's news, not puff or sales about your company. So keep it that way.
And we don't want to talk about things like exciting, fantastic, wonderful, etc. We want to give them the facts, but present it in a way that is interesting. One little tip that we might share with them, Tom, that we've found quite successful, if you do want to get just a little bit more jazzy in there, treat it as a quote. In other words, have the president of your company or the CEO or the service manager say what you want to say that's a little bit more salesy, but put it in quotes as though it's a comment from them.
So when do you write a news release? Every chance you get.
Amen.
Now, you may have to create something newsworthy. You may have to piggyback on a special day, a special week. In the library lives a book called Chase's Annual Events in your local library. Come on, take a look at it. There is a day for everything.
There is indeed, or a week or a month. There is even National Procrastinators Week.
That'd be a good one for me. But beyond that, that is just a place to find lots of ideas.
And then what you do is you tie in, you know, you research in this, and there's an index in the back where you can look for things that are appropriate to your industry. And then you tie in something with that day, week, or month. And then the press is more likely to run your story because it has a hook that is relevant for them.
You can conduct a survey. You can predict trends. You can sponsor a contest. You can create and hold an event.
You also will probably be having anniversaries. Certainly your 5th year of business and your 10th year of business, you should be putting together news releases for these milestones.
A new associate that is well known in there, a new management, community volunteer work that your company is doing, a move or expansion. Just look for things that might be newsworthy. The smaller the paper, Marilyn, of course, the smaller the media outlet, the better chance you have.
Exactly.
No news you can get, no publicity you can get is bad publicity. It's all good regardless what size or where it is.
Because you want to get your name out there. It's important to always thank your editor, the reporter, the journalist, the host or the producer of the show. Send thank you notes because you're building media relationships, and it's important that you constantly keep visible with those people and show your appreciation for this press you got. Let's talk about that piggyback principle, though. You know, so many times people get wonderful press, and maybe they have a little office party, and then they stuff it in a file drawer, or they throw it away, or they forget about it.
This was brought home to us recently in a company in Woodlands, Texas. They got that coveted Wall Street Journal that I talked about, and they did exactly what Marilyn said. What you want to do is use this thing again. Let all your market area know that you were written up, that you got publicity. Because, see, this is third-party people talking about you. This is somebody else saying that this is the number one air conditioning company in the valley. That's heavy stuff, folks. So you want to recycle and use that.
You know, secondhand publicity is often more valuable than the first time it goes around. These stories and mentions and so on, they solidify your credibility. And they provide an ideal low-key reason to get in front of prospects to use as a mailing, for instance. Now, you should get permission if it's a copyrighted publication. You may have to pay them a small fee to reprint it. But the point is, here again, as Tom said, it's not you saying you're great. It's somebody else saying you're great. You want to send these to clients, send them to customers, use them as an enclosure in your statements, do a special direct mailing about them. Put them in everything you send out, everything you do, maybe make a copy and post it, get an original actually, and frame it, and put it in your shop, put it in your office. Keep it really visible because, baby, when you've got it, you need to flaunt it.
Now talk about being visible. If you're following what we're trying to tell you, you're not going to just solicit one release. You're not going to just solicit one piece of publicity. This is going to be a continuum for you. You're going to go after more. And when you go for additional publicity, be sure to include what's already been done. People love to get on the bandwagon.
Good point.
It just helps you and improves your chances of getting there.
Okay, before we wrap up, let's talk a little bit about promotional events and how you devise something like that, because it's really another great way to focus attention on your business.
Promotional events will enhance your image, and they'll put more fun and profits into your business. It's important that you allow time for planning, and consider appropriate timing to increase results.
Events use kooky angles to create synergy. A baby shop, for instance, might do something around baby pictures. A pet store could sponsor an ugly pet contest. I went to those one time, by the way, and it was won by a fish.
A camera store or film shop could have a photography show. Amateur. Merchants can have rollback prices days to boost sales during slow periods.
I suppose that a sport and recreation place could, use this very well. They could do, if they were into golf or bowling or hunting or fishing, they could have people predict scores or guess attendance at activities or estimate the biggest catch of the day.
Of course, holidays, somebody's already defined an event bonanza for you. Halloween, they've got a cauldron of possibilities. A marketer could have a pumpkin carving contest, a craft store, a pumpkin decorating contest, a bookstore might investigate a scary story contest, and for Christmas, a music store could conduct a song contest for carols.
You might even team up with others in the community to develop something purely for the enjoyment of area residents. Remember, doing good is good for business. Volunteering your time or expertise can pay big dividends. You'll make strategic contacts, receive exposure in local newspapers, and feel really good about what you're doing.
If you're small, look for opportunities to gain strength in numbers. It was brought to mind recently that 5 Bed and Breakfast Inns in Eugene, Oregon, small places banded together to create a phone loop. Each bed and breakfast had 2 phone numbers. One its own, and the other the group's. They increased their business by working together. They didn't miss that phone call they might have otherwise. And they had a referral system so that they made sure if they were full, that the other 4 got the opportunity, unless they were also.
That's a great plan. And in fact, we have created a name for this. We call it Link Think. Link Think is a form of affinity marketing where everybody wins, where one organization teams with another organization to benefit themselves and the customer.
Equally as important as your bank deposit are testimonials and referrals, because folks, they're like money in the bank. Particularly for service business, it's so much harder to sell intangibles, repairs, maintenance. There's no garment to feel. There's nothing to sniff. There's nothing to touch. You have to depend on word pictures. And the best word picture that anyone can paint is a reference by a satisfied customer.
So when you get verbal accolades, ask the person to put it in writing. And then respond with a written compliment and thank them and, really be gracious about it. Also, request permission to use it. Then you want to weave these kudos into future ads, brochures, your sales letters. Use them in every way you can because they help you establish credibility.
I think you probably know it, but I want to repeat it. Word of mouth praise can't be bought at any price. And yet it's your most valuable marketing tool. A recent Whirlpool Corporation study proved Americans are 6 times more likely to base a buying decision on the judgment of others than on advertising. So that means that word of mouth is 6 times more powerful than the other stuff you do.
Use these testimonials liberally. It's always better when somebody else says you're good than when you say you're good. We hope the ideas we've shared with you today have been helpful. Through proper image building, positioning, publicity and promotion, you can become not only widely known, but also extremely profitable. We wish you good fortune.
And prosperous days ahead.
We hope this edition of the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month has given you many new ideas to help you run your company more effectively. Along with this month's tape, you also received several other things. There is a short summary of the tape you just heard, a brief outline of the program for quick review, and you will also find a customer response card enclosed. There is a place on the card for your comments on this tape, as well as space for suggestions you would like to make for topics on future tapes. The response card is postage paid, so please write down a few comments and drop it in the mail. We would love to hear from you. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.